Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Mark. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Thus far the text. What kind of God do we have? Do we have just a general God who does general things for a general population? Why, yes, of course. Of course we do. Ours is the God of the universe, the God of creation. He is the one who has spoken all things into existence and then declared them all to be good. The sun is set in the heaven, and its light shines on all the earth. It is a light for the good of all, just like the rain that falls and the crops that grow and the stars that twinkle. He is a God for all. He is the God of all. But he is not just a big picture sort of God. He isn't just a divine foreman, only concerned with getting the project finished. He works with the small things too, the individual things. He's there getting his hands dirty with the specifics, the minutiae, the small little details and subtleties. For what is the purpose of finishing a task if all the details are left alone and unaccounted for? And in that way, our God is the architect, but he's also the mason and the electrician. He's the plumber and the carpet layer. Our God is a hands-on type of God who wants to get his fingers in the clay. And so that's exactly what we have in our text for today. We have a Jesus listening to the pleas of a group of people who cared enough for their friend that they brought him to Jesus and begged him to lay his hands upon him. And we so often see Jesus doing miracles, and many times they're miracles for the masses. 5,000 and more are fed with a couple loaves and two small fish. Wine is supplied for a giant wedding feast so that the party can keep going all the way deep into the night. But more than that, we see him with the individual, taking care to speak to a mother and comfort a father, casting out demons from a young boy or a scared little girl. And in our text, we see him spending time with a deaf mute. Now surely the God of the universe could have just spoken a word and healed the man and then been on his way. Goodness, I suppose he could have just spoken that same sort of word and just healed everyone in the world. And on this subject, I know that there's many of us who wonder why God doesn't do just that, even right now. With a word, he could end all temporal suffering on this cold-hearted orb of ours. COVID, just gone in the blink of an eye. War and bloodshed ended with the drop of a gun. Surely he could do all of this, and yet it would appear as if he doesn't, or he's not willing to, at least not yet. And so this might be reason enough for us to doubt in his existence, or at least doubt in his goodness. And that's a fair enough criticism, I suppose, and one that I don't have a ready to answer for this morning, at least not one that will actually answer the question and make it disappear. And that, for that reason, unfortunately, it seems as if the answers to all of these big picture sort of questions aren't actually given to us here on this side of heaven. And sure, we could harp on all of them, day and night, be concerned to the point that we just give up all hope. But then we wouldn't be listening to the actual words that our actual Lord says to us. To us, as individuals. Because in the end, we aren't just one of many. We aren't just a nameless face lost somewhere in the mass of humanity. To our Lord, we are individuals. We are his children. We are Mary, or Mark, or Sammy, or Margaret. And in the end, that actually means something. Jesus, he stops to care about the problems of this deaf, mute man. And so let's call him Tim. Tim the deaf mute. Because this guy isn't just a forgettable extra in a movie, but he's a man. He's an individual. He is a person for whom Jesus personally cares for. And Jesus has just heard Tim's friends explain his plight. And now Jesus takes Tim away, privately. It's time for a one-on-one, away from all the prying eyes of the crowd who are clamoring to see another general miracle performed for a general nobody that they've never met before and never will see again. No, now is the time for Jesus to stick his fingers in the clay and care about this Tim who stands right before him with stopped up ears and twisted up tongue. And perhaps we should take a moment right here and think once again about the type of God that we have. Or maybe better said, the type of Jesus that you have. That doesn't mean that you get to decide the type of Jesus that you have. That would be silly. How can the clay say to the potter, you must be like this, and you must act in this way, and you must do these sorts of things? No, it's true that you do have a personal Jesus, but that doesn't mean that you've made him in your image, but he's created you in his. And in so doing, he's made ownership of you. You are his. Tim, the deaf mute, is of Jesus, and so is Mary, and so is Margaret. And that means that Jesus doesn't just care about the general you out there, but the personal, individual you. He cares for you. Now, Jesus does some weird things in our text for today when he heals Tim, the deaf mute. We already spoke about how he could have just certainly spoken a word, snapped a finger, maybe even just blinked his eyes, and this man would have been fine. But instead, Jesus takes Tim away privately, and he looks into Tim's eyes. Jesus takes his own fingers, and he sticks them in Tim's ears, because that is the very place that Tim is hurt. And Jesus spits in his hand, and he takes that spittle, and he touches Tim's tongue, because it was Tim's tongue that was all tied up. Not his feet, not his hands. Jesus becomes Tim's personal Jesus by doing personal things for Tim. It's almost as if he said, can you hear me, Tim? Ephatha, be opened. Here is a personal word for you. Can you feel my fingers in your ears? I give you my hearing because all things are from me. And your tongue too. I give you my speech. This is from me and it is for you because I care for you, Tim. I care for you. Now as we go about our own scary trials and tribulations in this fallen world, it's easy to think that we're far too small for the God of the universe to actually care about us and take notice of us. And I know perhaps sometimes we're actually convinced that this is the actual case, especially when the disease gets real, or the divorce is finalized, or the coffin of our loved one is actually lowered into the ground. Where is this God of mine, we might say? Where is this Jesus? Does he know what I'm going through? And if he does he even care? The truth of the matter is, he does most certainly care. He cares about the fact that you have COVID, and that your husband left you, and that your wife is now dead and gone from you. He cares for you, and it breaks his human beating heart that you're suffering in this way. You aren't one of the masses. You are you, and you are his, and so he cares for you. But the thing is, Jesus isn't just some sort of miracle worker. If he was, then all he would care about and be concerned about is just the temporal things. And that really wouldn't help us in the long run, would it? And while the temporal things are certainly important, our Lord doesn't always deal with them in the ways that we would see fit, the ways that we might want or desire or even expect. Sometimes that disease just progresses, and sometimes the divorce actually goes through, and sometimes the coffin is actually lowered. What then? Has this miracle worker Jesus just skipped over you without a care in the world? What if Tim, the deaf mute, now hearing, now speaking, went away that day with only his ears opened and his tongue loosed? What if all he knew about Jesus was that he was a miracle worker and nothing more? Would that mean anything for Tim 20 years later when he was on his deathbed? Look, maybe your Jesus will in fact do things for you in the exact ways that you want him to. Chances are he won't. And so maybe, just maybe, that thorn in your flesh will remain with you until the day that you die. But the miraculous mystery of it all is that our Lord of life has the authority over even your death. And none of these temporal thorns will be able to follow you through to the other side. Your personal Jesus will take you through the grave and raise you to a new life through his resurrection. And all of the pains and all of the diseases and sufferings and heartaches will stay buried in the grave forever. At the cross, Jesus won for all of mankind salvation, for all sin and all pain from death and the devil. And that empty tomb of his isn't actually as empty as it appears to be. In it lies Tim, the deaf mute's broken ears and twisted up tongue. In it lies your COVID and your cancer, your dementia, and your arthritis. In it lies your heartache and your shame, your sin, and even your death. In it lies the devil and all of his demons. In the empty grave of Jesus lies all sin and all disease and all pain and all suffering and all death. At the cross and in the empty tomb lies the general victory of Christ for all people. But like I said many times in this sermon already, Jesus isn't just a general Jesus. He's a personal and specific one. And so he has a personal word for your personal ears. Not personal as if it's just for you alone, but personal in a way that means, yes, it is for you. Jesus speaks into your ears, Ephatha, be opened. My cross is for you. I took all of your sin and pain and your disease and even your death, and on the cross I made it mine. It's mine, all of it. It was nailed to and through me, so that I have the victory over it. And now I make that victory yours. Ephatha, be opened and hear the word of the cross for you, spoken into your ears. And see that font over there? That's for you too. You're not a nameless nobody. Those waters are child-making waters, and they are for you. You're wedded and you're watered, and you're given a name that's written in the book of life. And not just a name, not just any name, but your name. Mary, and Margaret, and Sam, and Tim. And how about this rail right here? Oh, you're not going to believe it. Time for me to touch your tongue with my own flesh. Time for your throat to be Ephatha'd, to be opened up so that I can pour down your throat the blood of the cross so that it may be inside of you for eternal life. Don't Don't you see, my fellow saints in Christ? Jesus is for you, personally, individually, specifically, he is for you. Because that's the type of Jesus that we have. Not just a general Jesus for a general world and the general problems of sin and death and the devil, although that all is certainly true, but more than all of that, we have a for you Jesus. Not just a Jesus for the masses, or a Jesus for the other guy, or a Jesus for Tim the deaf mute, but a Jesus for you. Hear his words for you. Remember your baptism for you. Receive his body and his blood for you. In the name of Jesus.